Greetings in Jesus' precious name. We are glad to have Chad's whole family here with us today. When you go to church by yourself for a number of Sundays, it feels just really good to have the whole family with you. So glad to have them all here. Brother Shannon had sent me a message this morning saying that Janice was suffering with a severe migraine. So you can pray for them, pray for her. Find strength, recovery from that. Well, for a message this morning, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. I'd like to take some truths from a very familiar story about Mary and Martha. Luke chapter 10, and we'll go to the end of that chapter, and verse 38 is where we'll start breaking in. Now it came to pass, as they went, which is Jesus and his disciples, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The title for the message this morning is The Sin of Self-Pity. And as Christians, there are some sins, or there's some things that we think really aren't that terribly bad. And this is, I think, one of them. Sort of a respectable thing. It's okay to do it occasionally. It's one of the things that I battle with in my own life is feeling sorry for myself. And I can excuse myself pretty easily. Is this really a sinful thing that I need to confess and repent of? Or is it just something we can shrug off and smile about it later? Sort of just got over it. When was the last time that you had a pity party? That you hosted a pity party? Have you ever sat around feeling sorry for yourself? This morning, I would like for us to look into this just a bit. How can we avoid feeling sorry for ourselves? And what can we do to help us in our thinking when we're thinking, poor me, I got it pretty bad? I think there's some truths here in this little account for us to learn from. We have Martha in this story, and she believed that Mary was taking advantage of her. Here was Mary, she was busy listening to Jesus, sitting down, and Martha's over in the kitchen working hard, slaving away, making food, washing dishes, cleaning the house, and she's getting disgusted because here she is all by herself, working away, trying to make food, and here is somebody, her sister, that could easily help her. And there she's sitting down with Jesus, just listening to him talk. And in verse 40, we have Martha coming to Jesus, and she said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. I can just see Martha was just feeling really sorry for herself. And she came to Jesus And she's thinking that Jesus should tell her sister to get up and get to work. Go help your sister Martha. And so we had a situation where somebody, Martha, had given in to feeling sorry for herself. She was pitying herself. There she was, working away. There was somebody else that was very capable in the house that could help her, but she wasn't to be found to be working. Martha's attitude towards Jesus, I believe, was sinful. I mean, do you hear what she said in her question? She asked Jesus, she said, "Don't you care?" She believed that Jesus, in his lack of action, Jesus in his action, whichever way, revealed a lack of care for her. And she posed that question to Jesus, "Don't you care about me? Don't you care about me?" And so she became frustrated at her sister, and she also became frustrated at Jesus, because she's like, "Lord, do something about this. Like, don't you see? You can see. I need some help. Tell her to come help me." Well, we have Jesus' answer to her, to Martha, and he said, "Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. Martha, you have your priorities, they're not properly placed. Right now, the most important thing to do was to sit down and listen to Jesus." Well, what is self-pity? How do you define pity? Well, it's when you feel compassion towards somebody else. When you look at somebody else and their situation and their circumstances, and your heart's moved for them. In contrast to that, self-pity is feeling sorry for yourself, is feeling sorry about your circumstances and where you're at in life. And it's this mindset of poor me, it's about me, I'm unhappy, I'm self-absorbed. And I really would like somebody else to take notice of me in my situation. Can somebody see how terrible my situation is right now? I would like some company. Martha's focus in this passage seems to be on her sister Mary, and she's blaming Mary for her responses. She's blaming Mary for why she's feeling the way she's feeling. And as a result of her focus, of where her mind was at, she fell into this thing of self-pity where she felt sorry for herself. And Jesus corrects her for her sinful reaction and response. "Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "To rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." The Bible doesn't say we should complain and grumble and feel sorry about ourselves and our circumstances and our situations. The Bible does call on us to call out to God for help, for our needs, with our problems, but this thing of self-pity is not the type of crying that the Bible lifts up. It's not what we see in this passage. Rather, Martha was very anxious. She was troubled about her lot in life. And then on top of that, Jesus tells her that Mary's doing what's needful. Mary was sitting and listening to Jesus and him teaching. What leads us, what causes us to fall into the thing of self-pity? At its very deepest root, it's really an unbelieving response that shows that I do not trust God in my circumstances. I don't trust that God is really in control of where I am right now. I don't really trust God that what I have right now in my life is your will for me. Martha was questioning the Lord's care for her right now in this hard situation. As she was working away, she was saying, Lord, like, don't you care for me in my situation? Like, can't you see how hard it is for me? And she was questioning, does God really control our circumstances? Ultimately, self-pity indicates that we believe we deserve better from God than what he's giving to us right now. It's really a prideful attitude that self-pity stems from. To even suggest that Jesus was missing something, to even suggest that, Jesus, you're doing a bad job. Like, you're right here in my house, can't you see? We see in Mark chapter 4, the disciples and Jesus, they were on that boat going across the Sea of Galilee, and this terrible storm came up. Jesus down there sleeping. And the disciples got to the point where we're all going to drown. We're all going to die. And they go down in the ship and wake him up and say, Teacher, don't you care? We're about ready to die. And what did Jesus respond to them? He said, why are you afraid? Why are you scared? Have you still no faith in me? Jesus answered to those disciples in that difficult circumstance, revealed their response was rooted in unbelief in Jesus. And in his ability to help them, and in his ability to know that there was a storm raging right now. And so this morning, if I fall into this thing of feeling sorry for myself, I'm expressing this same attitude of unbelief. If you are a Christian this morning, if you do believe in God, then we must take God for his word. And God leaves us many, many promises for us to claim in tough circumstances, and in circumstances that really aren't that tough. We think they are. But in Psalms 84, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. There's one promise in the Psalms that God gives to us. Hebrews chapter 13 is another promise that God gives to us, that yes, God does know what we're going through. God does know the circumstances we are in. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. If I'm laying in self-pity this morning, it's because I don't believe what God has told me in his word. I don't believe what I just read. Instead, when you feel sorry for yourself, you really believe that God has abandoned you. He doesn't care about you right now. And so this morning, if I am convinced that what God says is true, and he will hold true to his word, and I'm convinced that, yes, God, you are in control of every circumstance in my life, every situation, and I believe that, then I won't be feeling sorry for myself, because I believe that this is from God. This is God's will for me right now. This is what I should be doing right now. And even in that thing, you will begin to experience a peace that God will give to you because you're giving yourself up, surrendering yourself to the will of God for you right now. And the Bible says that we can even experience joy in difficult circumstances. But we have to choose where our minds are going to go. What are we going to dwell on? What are we going to think about? What are we going to choose to believe in this situation? What is truth to us? We have Martha. She felt that Jesus didn't really even care for her. She felt that Mary was robbing her. But faith that believes in God's word, it will rise above. It will rise above the quicksands of self-pity. And whether your trial this morning is small like Martha's trial, or whether it's great, believe God's word. Choose to believe God's word. Choose to have your mind renewed by the word of God. God is true. What he says, he will do. Don't waste your life feeling sorry for yourself. How can you identify if you have self-pity in your life? What are some things that would help us understand that, you know what, I think I am falling into this thing of feeling sorry for myself? Well, one way that is an indicator of this thing of self-pity is, how often do I complain and seek attention? How often do I try to seek attention for my circumstances? Like, can't you see, my wife, that what I'm doing right now? Don't you feel sorry for me? Like, I'm working so hard right now. I mean, Martha even went up to Jesus. She wouldn't have to have said anything to Jesus, but she did. She had to go up to Jesus. She wanted to get Jesus involved in her situation. And often when you feel sorry for yourself, you're not content to just do it by yourself. You would like to draw in a few other people. And you begin to draw attention to your problems, to your difficulties, to the things that are troubling you. And we explain how this person, you know, how they wronged me, and our goal is to try to make other people agree with me. Take my side. Yeah, you're right. Poor you. Well, Jesus didn't agree with Martha's words, with her response. In fact, he corrects her. He says, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." And so do I fall into that tactic of trying to draw attention to myself, to my situation? Maybe you send a message to somebody trying to get some sympathy. Go to the Lord with your problems and leave them there. Another indicator of self-pity is, how do I respond when I'm not treated like I think I deserve? Maybe you weren't invited to go somewhere and some of your other friends were, and you're like, well, why wasn't I invited to go? Something wrong with me? Or maybe we hear of somebody that they did something for someone else and say, well, no one has ever done anything like that for me. Like, wouldn't it have been nice if they think of me occasionally? We have that elder brother in the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son had come home. And his elder brother, he refused to go into the party. He said, there's no way. There's no way I'm going in.
It's like, Dad, I worked all these years for you. I was your servant, faithful and true, year after year, and you never threw a party for me. And here comes my loose brother home, and you want us all to come in and party with him? I'm not doing it. Turned away in anger, walked away. His thinking, his self-pity, it resulted from his thinking that he had been treated unfairly, and now his goal was to make everybody else around him feel miserable. Self-pity often seeks to punish others and to make them feel guilty and condemned. And instead of throwing ourselves into something, we end up making the whole situation pretty sour because we were successful in ruining whatever was going on because it didn't quite suit me. Another indication of self-pity is, are you a demanding person? Martha went up to Jesus and she said, Jesus, help me. Help me. Do something for me. I need your help right now. And self-pity demands others to relieve them from our misery. Rather than asking Jesus to change the way I'm thinking about this, change my thought pattern about this, help me to be content right now with what God you've given to me right now. Help me to be content with it. Don't demand a change of circumstances. That's what self-pity does. But ask for a renewed mind to be content with where you are right now as God has you. I mean, in fact, the change of circumstances, would that have changed Martha's heart? Would that have changed the problem? Would have that been the solution to it? I mean, if Mary would have gotten up and busied herself with Martha, would have that been what would have been needful? The only thing that would have achieved is that Mary would have given in to Martha's manipulation. And Martha says, all this works, and I'll do it again. I can make this work. I can make other people do what I want them to do because of my responses. If Mary's help for Martha at this point would have made Martha feel like she got rewarded for her attitude and for her response, it was okay to feel this way. This worked out this time. And Martha would have kept falling into this thing of feeling sorry for herself and getting other people to do what she wanted them to do. And the deep sinful attitude of her heart would have never been brought to the surface. It would have never been dealt with. Jesus would have never been able to deal with it because it was always hidden under the surface, under a disguise. Another indicator of whether or not you're falling into self-pity is, do you have false humility? Do you have false humility? Do you have a low opinion about yourself all the time? And maybe to others that appears like you're humble, but it can be false. This is something that I'm guilty of. And it's pretty common for self-pitying people to fall into this thing where they seek affirmation. They want somebody to praise them, to lift them up a little bit. doing a really good job. Keep that up. Thanks for doing that.
And in that false humility, we want to draw attention to ourselves and what we're doing, how hard I'm working, the sacrifice that I'm making right now. And it's really a very selfish, prideful thing that's driving that whole thing. Another indicator of whether you're falling into self-pity is it difficult for you to accept criticism? I mean, have you ever shared your idea with somebody? You thought it was a great idea, you thought about it for a while, and you thought, this is really good, and you shared it with somebody, and right away they critiqued it. It's like, oh, what about this? They didn't really embrace your whole idea that you thought was so great. It was sort of squashed. I mean, what's your response to something like that? Think about Cain's response. We have those two boys, two brothers, offering sacrifices. God had respect to Abel's sacrifice. God did not accept Cain's sacrifice, and God asked Cain, why is your countenance fallen? Like, why are you sad? Cain, why aren't you happy? We have Cain, he offered a sacrifice, God rejected it, and he fell into this thinking. He was unable to accept the criticism that God was giving to him. He had opportunity to change his ways, to change his mind, the way he was thinking. But no, he didn't. He traveled in that thought pattern of anger at God, anger at his brother. And shortly after, when they were in the field, Cain rose up and killed his brother. In their pride, a person with self-pity will retaliate if they cannot get their own way. And if they can't get any sympathy from others, if no one treats them like they think they should be treated, it's possible to go as far as Cain and to kill someone. If you travel down that road long enough, stay in this thought process long enough, it will lead you to retaliate in some way. Another indicator of whether or not you're falling into the sin of self-pity is how do you respond when you have unmet expectations? Think about the parable that Jesus told of those servants that went to work for the man. He went out in the morning, and all through the day he kept bringing in men to work for him, and they all agreed to the wage. All of them said, yeah, I'll work for you for this much. End of the day, they all got paid the same. The men that only worked an hour at the end of the day, they got paid the same as the man that worked all day long. And these men complained and grumbled against the Lord, and they said, you're not being fair with us, because we worked a full day. These men only worked for an hour. We deserve more than they deserve. Jesus, you've done us wrong. You're doing us wrong. We deserve better than this. How do I respond when things are taken away from me? Maybe it's our finances. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's our health. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe there's lots of major things that can be taken away from us, and even small things that are taken from us, and we fall into this thing of feeling sorry for ourselves. And we think that God has wronged us. The greatest sin in self-pity is that we're not trusting in the Lord. We're not trusting God. We don't believe that God is in control of our circumstances right now. If he were, it would be different than this. Well, how can you prevent yourself from falling into this mindset of thinking, of feeling sorry for yourself? How can you prevent yourself from feeling sorry for yourself? And it's recognizing that it is a result of unbelief. It's a result of not trusting God. That's really what it is. We must see it for what it is. We need to use God's word to speak sense into our minds, into our heads, so we can think properly. We need our minds to be renewed. We need to realize that what I have in Jesus and in salvation is so much. It's so much. Even that alone is more than I deserve, than I ever deserve. How could I ever think that God has wronged me, when I ultimately deserved to die for my sin? God has done the greatest thing ever for us. This is the greatest thing. How can I complain about these other things that come into my life that really, if we can get a focus on eternity, they're really pretty small? The Apostle Paul speaks of light affliction, which is temporary. Paul faced some tough things. I don't read he sat around feeling sorry for himself. What are your priorities? Martha's priorities led her to be anxious and worried. She was troubled. She was frustrated. Critical of other people. Critical of her sister. Critical of Jesus. This is her priorities. This is what she's thinking about. This is what's big in her mind. Where are my priorities? If our priorities are misplaced, we will become very vulnerable to fall into this thing of self-pity, because we're distracted from the best thing. We're distracted from Christ. Think about Christ. Jesus diagnosed Martha's problem as being anxious about many things. Anxious about many things. And the truth is, she was busy serving Jesus. But the truth in it is that service for Jesus can get in the way of Jesus himself. It's possible. It's possible that our service that we think is for the king will get in the way of the king himself. It's possible. And so, is there something in my life that's sidetracking me from Christ and from what I have in Christ? If there is, it'll make it easier for me to fall into this thing of feeling sorry for myself. Another way to prevent yourself from feeling sorry for yourself is think upon Jesus. Think how Jesus lived his life. Think of the hard things he faced all his life. Think of the difficult things. Think of his suffering. Think of the whippings and the cross. Think of the days he went without eating. Think about all the things that he faced. And do we ever read that Jesus ever felt sorry for himself, about his circumstances, felt miserable, tried to draw people's attention to how hard he had it? I mean, Jesus didn't deserve any of that difficult thing that came to him. All of that he didn't deserve, but instead he bore our sorrows. He bore our griefs. And he did that joyfully. And right now, today, he is interceding for us to the Father. He is there for us on our behalf. We have
I have no reason to feel sorry for myself.
Every hour, every day that you and I waste in self-pity is just being bad stewards of our time that God has given to us. It'll make your life rot away. Self-pity is not the solution to your problems. It'll make your problems get worse and worse and worse. In Matthew chapter 20, we have some blind men coming to Jesus, and they were crying out, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." People were telling them to be quiet. Jesus asked what they would that he would do for them, and they said, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." And so Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. This morning, this is the ultimate answer for our problem of self-pity. Is, do you know Christ this morning? He in pity will forgive you the sin of self-pity. Jesus will be able to open up your eyes to see the truth of the matter, to see the truth of the situation. And he will have compassion on you. He'll have compassion on me. And he'll heal and he'll forgive those wrong attitudes that we have. So rather than having a pity party for yourself, and somebody needs to call the Wambulance, that song that we sing sometimes, to come pick us up. Because poor me, I'm being left out. I feel sorry for myself. And we cry. And we sigh. Rather, instead, brother and sister, let's rejoice in what the Lord is doing for us. Rejoice what he has done for us, what he will do for us. And even in the most difficult things that come to us, we don't even know what they all may be, but we trust God that he's true to his word. We'll claim the promises. And hopefully our testimony will be like the Apostle Paul, that even in the greatest trials that come, he saw it as just light affliction. Light affliction, but it will yield what? An eternal weight of glory. There is something at the end of this that will make it worth it. So keep going. Keep going. Repent of your sinful attitudes and thoughts of self-pity. And choose instead to allow God to renew your mind through his word so we can think properly about our situation and our circumstances. Let's kneel to pray.